You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Covered by Atlanta to the near side. Gatito Corona getting his first touches in this competition in this final four. McKenzie has given away. It's Corona looking for the angle. It's a dream start for Mexico. A mistake in the back, and the U.S. punished at the start.
Oh, that was Mark McKenzie with the gaffe?
Yeah, that was the first goal of the Nations League final. Mark McKenzie giveaway led to the Mexico goal in the first 2 minutes, and apparently it couldn't have been like, hey, we're just going to live and let live. Apparently not.
No, it was a mistake, and you're going to pay for it, okay? And he has paid for it on Twitter by, I guess, supporters, non-supporters.
And is it as simple as, come on, how could you make that mistake? Come on, you got to be better.
Come on, dude, you can't do that.
Was it as simple as that, John?
No.
No?
He's African-American?
Yes, he is.
So he caught it. He caught a bunch of racial epithets. So your sport, Dell.
Okay.
All right?
Okay.
Even in Italy, where no one's racist, this happens to Marco Balotelli, right?
Mario.
Mario, yes. Balotelli.
He catches it.
He catches it?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey! What are you doing, Marco? You're not just supposed to have a mohawk?
No, that is not what they're saying.
No. No. I mean, actually,
it's the chucking of bananas
at
saying
them
and making ape noises.
So why is your sport so racist? I want to know.
You're asking me that question?
Yeah.
Is sport racist or certain fan bases
too many
racist?
White people?
Frankly, there are too many. Yeah, there are. Are there too many white people in soccer?
Aren't there too many white people
is
everywhere?
Is there a problem, man? Well, then tell
everywhere.
Us you guys
aren't there
playing.
Too many white people everywhere?
Do you think there are too many white people everywhere?
Since I've been a kid, the diversity of the team itself has changed quite a bit. Like when I was growing up, there was like Ernie Stewart and Kobe Jones. There were the two black guys on the team, and that has changed. You see different and Hispanic players become a bigger part of the team. And I obviously mentioned look at the guys who are on the roster now: Weston McKinney, McKenzie. You got guys who are sons of immigrants who are on the team from African countries. So the diversity has changed as long as the country has changed. The fan base still pretty white.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing anyone can do about that.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to, there's either you would like the sport or you don't.
Yeah, and it's not so much that. It's that some of the fan base has adopted some of the things the European fans
now that's a problem.
Are want to do, and that is an issue.
That's a problem. And while we're at it, the fans of Mexico, some of their commentary is not great.
Oh, yeah. Well, the U.S.-Mexico back and forth between their fans and U.S. players has been a longstanding thing. I hadn't heard – I guess maybe I just hadn't been paying attention, but I hadn't heard of racial abuse being thrown at one of our players from our fans before. Maybe that's been a thing before, but I hadn't heard.
Oh, I'm sure if you would ask Kobe.
Kobe Jones.
I'm sure. Any mistake you make, you know you're going to catch him.
DeMarcus Beasley has been a long-standing member.
But there's also a difference between catching hell and thinking you're catching hell because you're a black player and catching hell because you weren't good. Like, players catch hell sometime if they don't do well.
Listen, he made a mistake and it cost him a goal and you're going to catch it. Hell, in Colombia, you could die because of that. That's what happened.
It has happened.
Well, yes. That's at the most extreme.
Well, right, but that happened.
And McKenzie himself is like, look, I didn't have my best performance, and, you know, criticism is, you know, I get that part of it.
When you start mentioning a race.
Yeah, and apparently they went and found his family online and were sending things their way, too.
Of course they did.
Yeah, because that's what everyone does.
Because that's the move.
Twitter. That's why you got
to go-to move by a racist.
Twitter, especially anonymous Twitter racists.
Yeah.
You got to have them. Give them their freedom to do these things, unimpeached. That's part of why we're so great as a world, is that we have this ability to interact anonymously and say terrible things to people and harass their families. We got to keep that in place.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fundamental freedom to do that stuff.
Yes.
No time should any of these people be tased in their neck directly with a taser like Aunt Lydia hitting them with a...
Wow.
Well, What?
Well,
would it slow it down?
Yeah.
I told Snacks this the other day. Snacks keeps doing the same dumbass stuff over and over and keeps getting in trouble for the same stuff. And I said, Snacks, let me ask you a question. If you walked up to an electric fence and you grabbed it and it shocked you, you know, the next time you saw the fence, would you grab it again? No. Why? Because it would shock me and hurt. Right, exactly. Why is it that you get in trouble with us for not turning stuff in or sneaking your computer and playing games you're not supposed to or whatever, the snacksy thing that he's doing? How come you keep doing that, though?
Because you don't give him a fresh
and
one.
And I said, yeah, truthfully, yeah, that's exactly. I said, you know why? Because we haven't found your electric fence yet. I said, we need to find your punishment that is your electric fence so you stop doing this. Deterrence, when I say we need to start tasing people for bad behavior, it's simply a deterrent. With that electric fence, you will not touch it again. I promise you. That hot stove, you will not intentionally touch it again like you did when you were a kid. But if you keep doing the same dumb stuff over and over and you get in trouble for it, that means your trouble wasn't strong enough.
Right.
That's just true. Right. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
How about prison? How about they go to prison?
Well,
racist prison.
I don't know.
Well, they do that in England. Like, if you're found to be the perpetrator of racial abuse, you can go to jail for that.
Well, yeah. Well, you can go hate crime here too.
What if
I'm just
write
saying
things
words
that are untrue?
Yeah.
What if you
just
write
words?
Things?
Yeah,
you go to word prison.
They have arrested people, or at least certainly brought them in
for racial
abuse is what it's called.
Wow.
And it's not just violent acts.
I like it. So this is something that might stop. Well, of course, you got so many burner accounts that
yeah, and, yeah. You he McKenzie. He got something on Instagram and screenshotted it, and you know it's from some account with a lot of numbers and letters. You don't know if it's real, and it referred to him as a primate, and which we all are, but they use monkey. They said ape when talking about him. So yeah, those are the things that he had to go through, and I'm sure his family saw as well.
Can we as listeners offer up the punishment that Snacks should get? David wants to know.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
He doesn't love so
whatever you. What do you think, David? Come on, let's hear it.
Yeah.
Snacks is not going to touch that electric fence again. He's going to trick someone else into touching it. That's what Snacks do. Well,
is he a trickster?
Well, he's going to get. He's going to get.
True.
Hey, Marty.
He might get a sister too.
Yeah. Hey, Marty, come here.
Might push her into it. Actually, no tricking involved. Just purely pushing into an electric fence.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the truth, though. Unless you have an electric fence in your life. Where you say, ooh, I never want that to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
Those are called deterrents, kids. And unless you have that, so we need to start creating some Twitter deterrents so we don't have people continue to do this to athletes and just normal people.
Yeah.
Ruin their whole
Two
lives.
Two things we also need to do here. Two things. We got to listen to Joey Votto because he went after the Cardinals.
He's a grudge holder.
He is.
You know the thing
I
where,
got a grudge against him, too.
For when he did absolutely nothing.
Well, right. Tell people why you have a grudge against him.
Because I dreamt one night that he was hitting my wife. He was
punched her?
No.
Gave her a ride?
No. Well, and I woke up and I said I was pissed at her that she was sleeping with Joey Votto.
So is it Joey Votto's fault or your wife's fault in the dream?
It was Joey Votto.
But
it
he didn't
Votto.
Do anything wrong. He just shot.
He's got some edge, though.
He shot the shot and it was in.
Yeah. Well, guess what?
In a dream of yours.
F Joey Votto.
That he did nothing.
Although I do like him. I do like him again now after I heard the soundbite. And it is awesome. Don't go anywhere. That.
Joey holds grudges.
And there's a new book out, How More About the Astros Cheating. A new book, and it's the Astros cheating is longer than anyone ever thought. We got that next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Working on a weekend like usual. Way off in the deep end like usual. Swear they passed us, they doing too much. Haven't done my taxes. I'm too turned up.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. So the Reds went into St. Louis and took care of that business over there. And Joey Votto, who's back with the team, came back from injury, was kind of pleased. He was pleased with himself and none too pleased with the Cardinals, their fans, the whole situation over there in St. Louis. This is pretty self-explanatory. Here's Joey Votto after the game.
A great team series. It's hard to win four games in a row. It's especially hard to win four games in a row on the road. And I don't know. I think I read the last time we did that was in 1990. And, you know, we had some talking motherfuckers in St. Louis after the first series sweep. And it's kind of nice to go on their road you know, on at their road ballpark and let them have it. We had some people sweeping brooms and like that while we were leaving. So how'd you like that? How'd you like that?
Who are the note? He's a note taker. He's a guy who's got his little, he pulls out his little stenography, his little notebook, and he's like, okay, who is talking that?
He's Michael Jordan sitting in the chair looking at the iPad.
Well, Michael Jordan, we know, Michael Jordan's probably the ultimate note taker. Yeah. But he was finding disrespect where you realized, man, Mike, that was disrespect? Like, that's your teammate.
He just said, hey, Mike, what the bleep?
Wow, poor LeBradford Smith. Poor Scotty Burrell. But Joey Votto is like, he was a lot of people talking. There's a lot of talking mother. How'd you like that, huh? How was that?
Joey Votto is Italian now. I like that about Joey Votto.
Joey Votto is going to hold a grudge.
Yeah.
That's the kind of notebook. You know that if you say something, 100% Joey Votto is going to put that up in the locker room. That's locker room material for Joey Votto. You think locker room material doesn't matter? It does to Joey Votto.
Mm-hmm.
So you better watch what you say. It's Votto. I like how you say Votto, though. Like, I think it should
Votto,
be.
It's Votto.
It should be Joey Votto.
No, not Joey Votto.
Joey Votto.
No.
Povol Quintico. Joey Votto.
He's Joey Votto.
If he got traded here, we call him Joey Votto.
No. That's not that down here you do. See, up there you go. Hey, just Joey Votto.
Once, I would
hey,
like,
Joey.
I would like somebody interviewing
Joey Boombats. What are you doing, Joey Votto?
I want that's somebody interviewing him just to say, yeah. After he says something in the interview, and they go, Simon Votto.
So, have you heard of this Jesse Winker guy that's on the Reds? He had three homers the other day against the Cardinals.
Is he National League?
He won. Yeah.
Yeah, don't care.
Don't. Yeah. Anyway, I like his name. He's Jesse Winker. He's like leading the world in hitting or something. I don't know. He's really, really good. Anyway, so the Reds, hey, there were some bleep talking MFers over there, and they took care of that business. The Reds went in there and took care of that business. Nice job, Joey Votto. So there's a new book out by another Italian, Andy Martino. Andy Martino, a New York.
Can you get your people? Andy Martino?
Andy Martino.
Oh, he's been, hold on a second.
No,
Andy Martino has been at the forefront of trying to be Mr. Yankees good, Mr. Astros bad.
Yeah. He's got a whole book out now on it.
So he's from New York, a Yankee, a guy who covers the Yankees.
Now he alleges that it went on up until it was still going on in 2019, by the way. He says that the whole AJ Hinch press conference where he was like, nah, what are you just talking about? Get out of here with that stuff. That whole thing was a Meryl Streep-esque performance by
why
AJ
are you
Hinch.
you're basically giving promotion to a John Boy book.
Yeah, no, it is.
This is literally a John Boy book.
Now he says there were vibrating band-aids now.
The Astros should sue.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Astros should 100% sue. This is what I'm talking about. You can't do things. You better have something. You cannot do these things and say these things and not have some consequence.
Then by 2019, the banging of trash cans had been replaced by a whistling coach and possibly a massage gun fired against the wall behind the home dugout in Houston, according to Martino.
Isn't that what
monitored a television screen near their dugout, picked up the opposing catcher's signals, which sometimes had been deciphered by the team's front office, and relayed that information to the hitter banging a trash
can. So the front office would decipher the sign. Now, can you tell me, when is a pitch pitched after the final sign is given and the pitcher goes into a stretch? Is it even 3 seconds? Two?
No, but the Astros were experts.
So the front office would decipher it. They would relay it down to somebody with a Theragun, and then the Theragun guy would start banging on a wall, and then the hitter would decipher quickly and make a hit.
No.
So all that happened in two seconds?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The Tampa Bay Rays asked MLB and Major League Baseball to be on the lookout for Houston players wearing vibrating Band-Aids during the 2019 playoff series against the Astros. Vibrating Band-Aids now. That's it. Okay. I just...
The desire to
but he
paint
does
Houston,
say, he
what
does
he
go,
say?
He does go on to say that the Dodgers... As previously reported, the Boston Red Sox definitely broke some rules, while the Dodgers, Indians, Brewers were suspected of it. But none of them pushed the envelope as far as Houston.
So he didn't even mention the Yankees.
As for the Yankees, they did experiment with a sign-stealing scheme that was so complicated, it may not have broken any rules.
Oh, okay.
They were so careful about keeping players away from replay monitors near their dugout that they erected a barrier to prevent anyone from stopping by
for a
quick peek.
So that's how pious the Yankees are. They built a wall. So you're telling me they built a wall? They built a wall.
Yeah.
To keep the
monitor
cheaters
wall.
Out. To keep cheaters out of their New York
so
Yankee
pious.
Country.
Because they're so pious.
See, that's what I love about the Yankees is they do things the right way. Like, you get the guys like Gleyber Torres. You bring in the top players who are also pious, like Gerrit Cole, who will tell you that the spider tack thing, that doesn't make, like, that's a hard answer to say if he's ever used something that gave him a foreign substance that gave him a huge advantage. And then they built a wall so that people wouldn't be tempted to cheat. And Carlos Beltran started the cheating, according to everyone, which is why Beltran's out of baseball. He started the cheating when he got to Houston. He had never even heard of it in New York with the Yankees, apparently. That was nothing. He just came up with it out of the blue in Houston in 17.
Yeah.
It was not something he brought over from New York. It couldn't have been because of the wall. Remember the wall that
the
they
wall,
had up there?
The wall. They had a monitor
wall. Even if
wall.
You wanted to cheat, you couldn't because all of the safeguards were in place
because
the Yankees are that team that they're America's team.
Virtuous.
They do things the right way.
Virtuous is the word you're looking for.
Thanks, Andy.
Thank you, Andy Martino.
Andy.
You know what? I'm ashamed of your Italian heritage, Andy Martino. I'm ashamed of you.
Can we get Gerrit Cole talking about spider tech then to cleanse ourselves from this ridiculous slant?
Did he say that he used a spider tech? No. Did he say it? No.
I don't know. I don't know if... I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
That. What do you mean? It's a yes or no question. Did you use spider tech?
I don't know. I don't know if... I don't know quite. I don't quite know how to answer that. To be honest.
If you watch Succession, that's 100% Cousin Greg.
Yes, Cousin Greg.
I don't. Do you have the Cousin Greg I sent you? I want you to listen to the tone. I sent it to your email. Cousin Greg is a this show Succession on HBO, and they're going to have another one coming out soon.
Oh,
I think it's fairly soon. I can't wait. It's a great show.
Yeah.
Cousin Greg is this. When you hear Cousin Greg talk, and then you hear. I don't know. You hear Garrett, you will hear, it's deliciously similar. I love the fact that it's so similar.
Well, it's also similar to Miss Teen Carolina, South Carolina.
In some ways,
Yeah, I personally believe
That some U.S. Americans
I wonder
don't
what
have
she's
maps.
Doing now.
Can I guess? Married to a super rich guy, two kids, Quinn and Aiden. And
what?
Probably
why can't she be a brain surgeon?
And still a smoke show. But why can't she?
Yeah.
Do I need to have Dell pull up the sound? That's why. I actually have proof of why she can't be a brain surgeon.
She might be. You don't know.
No, I know.
No, she might have gotten really, really smart since then.
Look, now.
You don't know.
Now I'm going to go on the rabbit hole and dig her up and have to
find out where she is.
Internet stalk Miss South Carolina. I'm going to put dumb.
No, don't put dumb in there.
Well, it pops up on Twitter.
She pops up immediately.
It pops up immediately on my Google search, and there she is. Lauren Caitlin.
Stop. Don't. Why does leave her alone.
YouTube. Lauren Please Caitlin, don't. Miss South Carolina, dumb, stupid blonde. I didn't write that. That's a YouTube video that somebody actually put. Oh. Miss Utah pageant answer fail versus Miss South Carolina. Oh, I didn't know we had a Miss Utah.
Oh, do we have one?
I guess there may be somebody else.
Well, we
got to
find that one. Do you have Greg? Yeah. No.
The first clip, there's an F-bomb I have to work around.
Oh, see.
No, the first one with Uncle, with Greg.
He's talking to a woman. She goes, Jesus Christ, Greg. That's his mom.
But when we play Cousin Greg. No,
that's not what we need. We don't need that in our lives, everybody. Okay? Stop dropping F-bombs on our Lord and Savior. Okay? Thanks. That is terrible. Anyway, our Astros won last night. 7-1 was the final. And Fromber looked great. Carlos Correa looked great. Yuli looked great. I just can't. Why is Straw starting in center field? Why? Why is he starting? Can someone? I can't get it explained to me. No one can explain it. Chance tried to explain it last night and everybody thought he was drunk. It's ridiculous. Can we stop starting? Why is McCormick? And by the way, Michael Brantley, they asked whether or not, you know, is Jordan going to play? No. Uncle Mike is our left fielder. Thanks. He owns left field.
It feels so good to see Michael Brantley in the lineup. I feel better. Like, he's like a warm blanket. You know, you just, this feels like a weighted blanket. That's what that gives you the emotional support you need. That's what Michael Brantley
So is. Odorizzi tonight. Odorizzi better pick it up, or Odorizzi's going to the pen, isn't he?
Yeah, I would hope.
If he doesn't pick it up, you can't have him starting every fifth game.
If the good Lord is willing for him to go to the bullpen.
Innings, his average three innings.
Yeah, if the good Lord is willing for him to go to the bullpen, then that will be his will.
Well, I think I don't think the good Lord is thinking about whether or not Odorizzi goes to the pen.
I just got mixed up with Texans. My bad.
Well.
That's right, Astros. Okay, I was thinking it was a Texas.
No, and I don't think the good Lord is thinking about Davis Mills starting. What week Mills starts? I'm pretty sure.
You know what I'm saying? Y'all better get prayed up on Davis Mills. I'll just tell you that you picked him in a third round with your first draft pick. You better get prayed up on.
They prayed on the general manager, and guess what happened? It was Nick Caserio. I guess God named Nick Caserio.
I imagine they prayed on the head coach, and they got a guy with a problem.
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
That's not.
So I don't. Maybe they should change the way they're trying pray.
To, maybe it's some kind of a reform. You know, he's doing penance.
Well.
Maybe.
I would.
This is his penance for being a junkie.
Well, what a penance. You get paid millions of dollars.
Well, there is
all they're doing is funding his habit.
His Mexican food habit?
Well, I don't know what he's a junkie of.
He said it.
I'm going to tell you about David Culley, who's a junkie.
You got to stop that.
I found Miss South Carolina. Married and divorced. Say the child's name, which is probably best.
That's not surprising. Married and divorced. That was
She's selling real estate in California. And she married personal trainer Charlie McNeil. They divorced in 19.
How long were they married?
She was expecting her first child with their new boyfriend.
Mm.
They welcomed a son in January of 2020.
Well, then, okay, so she'll have more. You'll probably be right.
How old is she?
32.
Okay, plenty of time.
Wow, she's already 32?
No, she was a teen in 07. So, yeah.
That was 07?
Yes.
That was our first year here. We played that snot out of that thing.
So do you think you two are blatantly pro-marriage? Me, not so much. Do you think you could survive having conversations with this woman?
No.
Who? The Miss Teen?
Yes.
No. Well, she was young then.
You think
the personal trainer couldn't even, okay?
Okay.
He's like, I'm just saying.
You're saying how deep are those conversations?
I'm not saying, I'm just saying. 828, 29 now. ESPN 97.5. That was a little jab, wasn't it? Personal trainer.
It was. I mean, I don't know why you did that. At least you didn't take a shot at my guy Hector from Site Jab. SiteJab is Houston's own premier website development company, but it's much, much more than that. What SiteJab gets involved in is I mean, it's about branding for your brand. So logo design, they can do video shoots. They can do website integration or integration of e-commerce and your video stuff into the web design. They do video production, lead generation, social media management. And of course, the best web design that you're going to find for your laptop, but more important, I mean, for your PC, but more importantly for mobile, making sure you have a company that has the hottest mobile design that allows people to fluidly work through the different pages in your site and get them to the information they need quickly. That's paramount in keeping the eyes on your site and converting them into business leads. And that's why small and medium sized businesses here in Houston and beginning to find companies abroad are working with SiteJab. This is your chance. 97.5 listeners have been doing it for years, and you can do the same thing. Give them a call today at 713-999-4661, or just go online at sitejab.com, S-I-T-E-Jab.com. Take a look at all the information that they're offering you, and then schedule your meeting right there online. It couldn't be simpler. Sitejab.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 831 on ESPN 97.5. We have not even mentioned the NBA yet. And first of all, Nikola Jokic. Apparently,
it's Nikola Jokic.
Nikola Jokic. We need to pronounce it correctly.
Well, he is the best player in the world for a season, at least.
Yeah, he won MVP. Now, Tobias Harris says, oh yeah, well watch, Joel Embiid will get his MVP in the finals. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, whatever you say. The Sixers bounced back, and he certainly did bounce back in a big way. Well, of course, he had 39.
He was fine in game one.
Yeah, he had 39 the other night. And he did have 40 in this one. He was 13 of 25 from the field. He had 13 rebounds, and he also had a block, a couple of steals. Joel Embiid was awesome last night. Sixers bounce back and beat the Hawks. Are the Hawks not the most surprising team in these playoffs?
Have been.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, they got a pretty good team. Capella's doing a nice job over there. Trey Young's turned into a budding superstar, though he didn't have a big game yesterday. But, yeah, I think so. The Hawks are one of those teams that I actually give the Hawks a legitimate chance to beat the Sixers. It's going to be tough, but I think the Hawks have a real shot. I mean, they've got a better shot, obviously, than the Bucks have of beating the Nets. But I think the Hawks have a real shot at beating the Sixers.
Certainly when, you know, the alleged second best player for the Sixers scores 4 points, takes three shots. Look, Ben Simmons, I don't think he's long for that. If they go out in round two,
Daryl's getting rid of him.
I can't imagine he's going to be able to survive.
No.
When Joel Embiid's playing on a partially torn meniscus and doing what he's doing, and you're just very, very quiet. You scored all your points in a comeback in game one where you were quiet when the Hawks were building their lead. And now what you did last night.
Yeah, Daryl Morey ain't putting up with this.
What general manager would want to max this guy out?
Yeah.
And still pay him?
But he does so much more.
Does he?
Does he, though? Are you, though? Trey Young wasn't himself, certainly, or wasn't what he was. Listen, this Hawks team since Nate McMillan, how bad does this look with Lloyd Pierce?
Yeah, it's not a great look.
How bad is this? Because he's a candidate. He's being interviewed for a couple of the job openings now. I believe he's in Portland. He's one of the candidates.
You know,
of course, there's 40 candidates in Portland, right?
And Dame has, after backing Jason Kidd saying, I don't like the optics of you backing me, and then it makes it seem like they're forced to hire me. So he took his name out of it. Now Dame's not commenting on anything. He was asked about his future, and he was like, nah.
No.
I'm not saying a word.
But since Nate McMillan has taken over?
Yeah, if you know college football has negative recruiting. If you're negative recruiting as a candidate against Lloyd Pierce, look at the Hawks is all I'd say. Just look at them.
They're one of the best teams in basketball since he took over.
Yeah. I think they ripped off an 8-game winning streak right after he got fired.
Lloyd Pierce is like, hey, well, you guys couldn't do that. You guys couldn't play like this for me?
No.
And apparently not. So the 76ers put him back, put him back in their place a little bit. But yeah. Now they're going to Atlanta for two.
Yeah, and the game was out of reach. But going into the fourth quarter, it was late in the third, and it was 84-88. Shake Milton hit a three to make it 91-84, and then the Sixers went on a run off of that. I think they scored the next 14 points when it was 88-84. So that was a game for three quarters, and then they had a little burst there and kind of put it away. So
whatever a Shake Milton is. He said, watch this. He came in the game in the first 30 seconds, bam, knocks down a three because they couldn't find anybody. They were, listen, he caught it just a little bit because Tobias Harris started the game on fire. And so what did he do? Took him out, sat him down. And it was like, what are you doing? So he tries to find somebody off the bench that can actually do something. And he puts in Shake Milton,
He was scoreless in the game before.
Yeah.
Only played 1 minute.
1 minute. And he's like, oh, you need me now? Watch this.
Yeah, hit that three to get some momentum into the fourth, and that carried them through. Look, Doc has the one title from 08, and he had those three Hall of Famers on his roster. But Doc's made questionable decisions in the playoffs. I mean, the Sixers needed to get away from Brown, and they went and got an established guy, but... I mean, I'm not going to look at that series and go, wow, Doc's really running circles around Nate McMillan. And speaking of that, Doc, his former team, woof. Now the Clippers covered, but teams who play in game seven don't fare well in game one straight up. And that played out, although it didn't look like that at halftime.
Were they? I thought they were 1.5-point favorites.
I think it got up to three.
Did it? Well, that's a push.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They pushed.
Yeah. But I think a lot of people lost on the
I guess I was thinking saying the Jazz when I say cover or whatever, but it was a push there. And then
it was for most part people won.
Yeah, and then it was obviously the Jazz won straight up. But Doc's former team and former assistant Ty Lue is getting crushed today because, you know, let's leave Luke Kennard in the game so Donovan Mitchell can hunt him throughout the third and fourth quarters. You saw how often they attacked Luke Kennard and how badly it went for the Clippers as the Jazz are making their run. Who would have thought the designated shooter couldn't play any defense?
Never would have thought that.
No.
So it was 60-47, I think, at the half. And the Jazz had missed a lot of shots, and they looked out of it. And then they went on a run. There's audio. Donovan Mitchell said at the end of the third quarter, hey, they played a game seven. If we go on a run here, we'll make them pack it in and go home. And it looked like that for a little bit, but the Clippers fought back, so I'll give them a little credit. But I don't know how to feel about that series, though, right now.
Well, if Rudy Gobert just got to block a shot to win it for him, I mean...
Well, Mike Conley didn't play.
The Clippers are a great team. Jazz won.
Yeah, Mike Conley didn't play either, so they played without their starting point guard.
Yeah.
It was a good win for the Jazz. They showed some fight. They didn't let their poor shooting knock them out of it, even being down double digits at the half. And Donovan Mitchell is that dude. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it, but he's now equaled the same amount of 40-point games in his playoff career that Karl Malone ever had.
Yeah, once again, the point thing is just so much harder getting when Karl played to get into the 40s. That was extraordinarily hard, and you can get into the 120s without even hardly trying in NBA basketball now. But it does not diminish the fact that Donovan Mitchell is great. But I do think, like Karl Malone, there was a question about how far they could get, how far the Jazz could get, despite having a great team. This is really big for the Jazz, because if the Utah Jazz have this kind of record this season, they look like they've been on the verge for a while. They've had talent, but you didn't know if they had the true number one and even the pieces around them. If this is the year, this is the best shot you have. You beat a Clipper team that, frankly, just isn't a great team. They just really aren't a great team. You are favored to beat them. You're the favorite in the West. The Jazz are the favorite in the West. It goes Jazz, Clippers, and then Suns, which I think is a little disrespectful to the Suns, to be honest with you. I think the Suns have just as good a shot as the Clippers as getting to you know, is getting to the NBA Finals. So if the Utah Jazz don't get there this year against the Nuggets, Clippers, and Suns, Suns, brand new team in the mix. Nuggets always there, you know, but never. But they don't have Murray.
This is the series.
But it, and yeah, the Clippers are not the team that we thought they might be. This is really the series. Like, this is the year where Utah really needs to get to the NBA Finals. They really do. For Mitchell to be considered, you know, because if you don't, then you're just a guy who's
20.
How different is he from? I mean, he's still young.
He's 24.
How different is he from Dame Lillard, other than he hasn't been in the league as long?
Well, that's the one thing. And Dame, it would be, hey, Donovan Mitchell's on a path. I mean, he's 24. I mean, I don't know. The difference is Dame's 30 plus, I think, now. And Donovan Mitchell would have 6 years of potential failures before we put him in the category. And I think that Jazz team is built better than the Blazers are. It was a little heartbreaking for me to watch Dwayne Wade over there celebrating with the Jazz. That one stung a little. I was like, he's over high-fiving Jazz
super
fans.
Super weird.
Yeah, he's high-fiving Jazz fans. And he's, you could see him. They have a shot of him reacting as Rudy Gobert is making that defensive play. I'm like, that'll sit right. A little sting right there. What you doing there?
What are you doing on the end?
I know you're part owner. I know for whatever reason, it didn't work out with the Heat where he could become part owner there. But I was like, that ain't right.
Mm-mm. In Utah?
You know what they would? You know what they're calling you if you had a uniform on playing for the other team?
No, it just doesn't make any sense. How can you root for those people now?
He's an owner. He has to.
He has to.
And they're embracing him.
842 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. When we come back, Sarah Barshop. She looks into the Deshaun Watson, where we're at on the Deshaun Watson thing and his chances of playing in Houston. We'll talk about what she says next. Don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, Lance, you got to. What about your fantasy?
Underdog. So Underdog Fantasy, they've got, and I mentioned this yesterday to you guys, they've got a really cool pick'em that you can do daily on over-unders, for points, for rebounds, things like that. And then you pick multiple. You can't just do one player. You do multiple players, and that creates a multiplier, and you got a chance to win money. This is real. Like, you have to go see this. You can win money with your daily fantasy or with your best ball format. And this is an easy-to-play format. Think about this for your fantasy football. There's no waivers. There's no trades. All you do is you just draft. You set it and forget it. Draft your team in a 12-team league over 18 rounds. Get the highest possible score in your lineup each and every single week. You hear that? All your players are going to play. So this is a really cool option to what you're seeing out there right now in terms of the 18-round draft that you're doing. There's no trades. There's no lineup setting. And the best way to draft riskier players, since you don't have to worry about having them on the bench when they have a huge week. So if you're worried about that, just play this game, because this gives you a chance that, hey, they're going to play. You don't have to worry about whether or not they're playing that week, whether or not they're going to get their touches. This is the way you do that. And Best Ball Mania 2 tournament has over $3.5 million in prizes, and you can enter for just $25. And here's the great part. If you sign up with promo code radio, they're going to give you $25 into your account with your first deposit. And then you just use that $25 to get into that Best Ball Mania 2 tournament with a chance to get into the $3.5 million of prizes into the coffers there. Play online or download the mobile app on Android or Apple. Make sure you check them out at underdogfantasy.com. Terms and conditions apply.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, so Aaron Rodgers isn't at minicamp. Right now, Packers are having minicamp. It's going to cost them $93,000, which is a pittance.
Allegedly.
No.
They have the chance to wipe it out. It's not.
It was already because they didn't make it mandatory.
Yeah, they can wipe it out.
So you can make your mini camp voluntary if you want, and that's what the Packers did. So they can not. But if it's mandatory, you can't under this CBA.
They changed it. Yeah.
Yeah. Under this CBA. So the Texans, it'll be interesting to see whether or not they make it's June 15th through 17th, their mini camp. Some teams have canceled their mini camps. They're not even having them. And others have made them voluntary for whatever reason. And the Texans will see whether or not they make it mandatory or voluntary. And if they do, it'll cost Deshaun 90. If they make it mandatory and he doesn't show up, it'll cost them $95,000. And you know what? They might be. You know what? They might just say, you know what? We're going to take that man's money. He's taking our money, and he's not showing up. So let's make it mandatory, and let's get some of our money back from Deshaun. Because if you think that the situation is untenable, if you think that there's no turning back, there's no – I got to believe that Deshaun Watson will never play for the Houston Texans again.
No. No chance.
No. Well, Sarah Barshop. She looks into it. She doesn't give her opinion on whether or not. She just says, here are the options on what is going on. And it's not anything different than we have all said. The thing is, her question is whether or not he'll be traded mid-season. If the police investigation and the commissioner's office comes down with its suspension, and the police investigation is over and there won't be any criminal charges, then there's a possibility that sometime in the midseason, that Deshaun Watson could be traded, I guess. Yeah. If you when you find out, when you know what the suspension is, then you can trade for Deshaun Watson, and you know, or he'll be suspended as a Texan and he'll not collect any of the money that he's supposed to collect. More than likely, Deshaun Watson will be put on the exempt list, so he will get paid when he doesn't show up.
Yeah.
If he's not on the exempt list, it's going to cost him.
Yeah, he needs to be on the exempt list, but it's something that they haven't had to deal with yet is the actual red tape that's involved with how you maneuver around, and they're going to need some guidance from the league at some point, but the Texans are going to need to figure out how they are going to handle Deshaun Watson relative to their team and relative to league protocols, because this has been awfully quiet behind the scenes. We haven't seen any fronting and flexing from Busby, or this has been unusually quiet. This is the most quiet period. I can't remember anything happening in at least 3 weeks between Busby and
the only time something
Rusty,
has
right?
happened for even longer was that they both came out and said, we're not negotiating. That's it. There was one day of Rusty Harden saying, yeah, they want to settle, but we don't want to.
Is there any chance
that
they...
We do not want NDAs. That was the only thing that's happened in how long, though?
Is there any chance that they got together and said, let's keep this, you know, let's talk about this, but we don't want any leaks in the media. We don't want, you know, let's sit down at the table and let's see what we can do without talking publicly.
I don't think so.
But isn't that ultimately what's going to happen?
I think they're just waiting on the process, on the civil process now.
You think so?
They're both sides are doing their due diligence. They have investigations. They're going to start depositions for the women. Deshaun's is going to be in February. I think everybody's just getting ready.
Such an enormous mistake on Deshaun's part.
Well, Rusty's the one that says, we're not going to the table with them.
No, I know. I think that's an enormous mistake.
They want NDAs and we don't.
He's going to get clipped for a lot of money. It's going to turn out to be another bad decision from Team Deshaun. That's my prediction.
Like I said before, I don't think, you know, just the touching or the women who are claiming he was naked and had...
He was excited and all of this stuff.
But that's not going to... In the civil case, that's not going to bring pain that much
and suffering,
money.
I'm just telling you, pain and suffering... It opens the door to a big loss for Deshaun Watson. And if 1, 2, 3, 4 women show that they have a history of mental anguish that has continued to hound them, and that they have been going to therapy this many times and they paid this much, and if they show a continued history.
But that's not going to be that expensive.
Not to pay for that. Well, okay, it's going to be your mental anguish.
On the other side would be, so you've never seen a naked man?
No, that's a bad argument.
Well, that's
a really bad argument. And naked, never seen a naked man. That's way different from being in either your position as your job or maybe just an Instagram person who's not even a massage therapist, and you're all of a sudden affronted with somebody. That's like saying somebody who gets flashed in New York somewhere, in New York, wherever, like that can't have traumatizing effect because you've seen a naked man before. That's not that that won't play well in the,
well,
in the jury.
Know.
I can tell you
that. How traumatizing is it? I don't know. I mean, again,
I don't know. You're not a woman.
No,
I'm not a woman.
I'm not.
I wasn't in a room. I don't know what happened, but I would be. I don't think Rusty's. I don't think the other side's going to say you never seen a naked man. That's not a good strategy.
Well, again, we'll see what the civil. I don't think it brings all that much civilly. Again, you're going to have to prove how traumatized they are just by because Deshaun was excited and humping in the air and stuff. I don't know. We'll find out. Now, the ones that he allegedly forced to do stuff, that's a different story. The ones he touched and that he, you know, that's a different story. The other ones, we'll see. I don't know. You may be right. I may be wrong. I don't know. But I don't think it brings all that much. The point being, now that it's past June 1st, $5.4 million counts toward the cap for 2021. And 16.2 would count of dead money for 2022, which is much of 22, 23, and 24 seasons. 16.2 would count against the cap in 22. That
when the cap
goes,
goes up,
yeah,
much
that's
better.
A much more palatable
Deshaun
dead cap situation.
This is the problem. There's a chance that the Houston Texans were never trading Deshaun Watson, even without this stuff this year.
Yeah. Or
because they had to give
maybe
them,
after June 1st, yeah.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying, but not before the draft.
No.
You know, the idea, let's say nothing happened with Deshaun or none of these girls came out or whatever. There is a chance that Deshaun wouldn't have been moved for one of those deals because it was so... Not only did you give him $27 million for nothing, signing bonus, here's your $27 million. Thanks for being Deshaun. Cool yeah. story. If I'm the Texans, I go after all of it. Number one, morals clause. You do whatever you have to recover that money. They have no, they don't have any obligation to give Deshaun $27 million free for nothing. They don't.
No.
He's not going to play for them. It's called a signing bonus.
Yeah.
And if you are not even going to play for the team, and if you had, you violated a morals clause, the Texans should be going after part of that. Then after June 1st, which is we're after June 1st, it becomes much more feasible to make a trade and not have your entire salary cap gutted. And let's remember, Whitney Merciless is going to fall off this cap. There's actually a few players who are going to fall off the cap, and it will be helpful. J.J. Watt being cut.
Lovie Smith says that Whitney Merciless is going to have himself a big year. He's going to lose weight.
Yeah, good.
He's lost weight.
And awesome.
He's going to lose
forward
weight.
To it, Lovie.
Is he going to be a linebacker purely?
Yeah, no, I think he's going to be...
He's going to lose weight and be a rush 4-3 end?
I guess that's...
How much did he weigh before?
Lovie is... You know what a lot of guys are saying, though, is that Lovie's defense, you ain't thinking as much.
You just
go.
You're
just playing.
That's how I like it. It's upfield. I love that. I just don't know that Whitney Merciless has that kind of juice left in the tank.
Says you.
Yeah, no, says me. Says me in tape for the last couple of years.
Well, he was overweight, apparently.
Well, the stats say differently.
No.
I hope I'm wrong on that one because...
Not really. They don't actually say different.
They do.
4.5 stats.
Do you have 4 sacks? Did you have 4 sacks last year, Dell?
Did you get paid millions, Dell?
No.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
No, there you go.
Does that change how the stats look?
No.
I don't know. He's got more stats than you, doesn't he? You're the one criticizing him. Okay? He's got more sacks than you do.
And you're criticizing Miles Straw. He's got more stats than you do.
We got the same number of home runs.
But he still has more.
Same number of home
runs.
Who
has more hits, John?
Did I hit a home run in the majors? No. Did Miles Straw? No.
Has he?
Not this year.
Does he have more hits than you?
Yeah, but...
Can you criticize him? He's got more hits than you. Has he been on base more than you?
He's got almost the same number of hits as a guy who's got 100 less at bats.
More walks than you.
Mm.
So you can't talk about Miles Straw either. If that's your process.
I got the same number of homers.
That's not how that works.
More home runs than me. That's right.
Well, Whitney doesn't have any sacks this year, so he has the same amount of sacks that I do, so I can talk about him if we're playing that game.
Yeah. No, sorry. He's got sacks in practice.
You don't know that.
Yeah, I do.
You can't prove that. Maestro has home runs. Lance, did you see Whitney get a sack?
Never saw a sack.
You're the only person that was allowed to go see him.
I just saw him sitting there like Jabba, just...
Whitney is Jabba.
What's that?
Hey, guys, it's me, Whitney Merciless.
Wait, is that Eric Cartman or Whitney Merciless? Like,
I'm going to tell you, rest in peace.
What?
Lovie Smith said I was a fat ass.
Like, oh my God.
I don't think he used the phrase, the term
fat. Oh my
fat
God,
ass.
Lovey.
I'm pretty sure he did.
That man's like 252.
How much weight can he lose to rush the passer?
I'm pretty sure he did.
If they get Whitney down to 170, he'll be so fast, no one will. Every sack will be his. Now he'll only be 170 pounds, but
that might be a problem.
Nah, yeah. I just let's be real. Whitney is probably not going to. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Whitney has this bounce back year. Because even if he does, I don't see this regime giving him an extension. With Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby, probably would have been another extension. There's a chance, but
I really think
Jacob Martin. When it's said and done, who do you think has more sacks? Jacob Martin, who also is a great fit for Lovey's defense, or Whitney Mercilus? I say Jacob Martin.
Yeah, I do too. I do too.
I'll make Jacob Martin minus 125.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to say by their bye week that Whitney Mercilus won't be playing much after that.
No.
All right. When we come back, if you haven't heard, Garrett Cole explains. I mean, he really breaks it down.
You got to hear. You got to hear.
If you haven't heard it yet.
And Dell's got a variety of sound. Trust me when I tell you that you're going to really enjoy the next segment with hearing mumbling, stumbling, bumbling people.
Okay. But I think it's well explained exactly what's going on with the spider tack.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to happen next. But first, what about you know what he needs? He needs some charisma.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. So Charisma Car Wash is not spelled like the charisma John just mentioned. I always have to clean up some of his segues. Because they're not as clean as you hoped they would be. They're not as clean as a car from Charisma Car Wash. And I went to Charisma Car Wash over the weekend and took advantage of this awesome deal. They're doing a deal. And one of the things, they wanted to do something special for Juneteenth. And so they said, look, we want to do this for the entire month of June. And it's for anyone and everyone. But they wanted something that they could do. And they're putting a big package together. It's $10 off for you on their washes, and it's two specific washes, the Lava and the Ultimate. The Ultimate's usually $14. The Lava is $17. You take $10 off of there, I got an Ultimate wash for $4, and my car was sparkling. And it is such an easy, easy process. You go up there, you type in the passcode 5975. It's going to drop $10 off your price, and you are going to be able to take advantage of this unbelievable offer for Juneteenth that is it's open for the entire month of June to everybody in Houston. Three locations, Heights North Loop between Shepherd and Yale. It's right next to the Starbucks. Upper Kirby between West Park and Bissonnette. That's where I went. And then Gulfgate inside Loop 610. Type in the passcode 5975 for the entire month of June. Tell everyone you know about it and get $10 off your wash. It's real fast. It's going to be real quick. It's real good. It's real fast, and it's only $6 for a standard wash. But right now, $10 off your Ultimate package and your Lava package only at Charisma Car Wash. To find a location, go CARISMAWASH.com. CharismaWASH.com. Open every day from 8 to 8.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.